Helping teachers who help students achieve at its public charter school in Kansas City, Missouri. More at kaufmanschool.org.
You're listening to Morning Edition on 88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. Andy Foldenauer joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for the Monday morning business news analysis. He's sitting in today for Brian Ford. Hi, Andy.
Good morning, Wayne.
Well, tomorrow being April 1st, we are wrapping up the end of the first quarter, which makes it a good time to step back and, kick the tires on those forecasts and projections back from the beginning of the year.
Sure.
And assess the top stories so far this year. What's your take on the returns that investors have seen so far to date?
Well, you're right, Rain. It is a good time to step back and take a look at the big picture. And, you know, what's been a choppy first 3 months of the year after a strong 2013. As you mentioned, tomorrow is April 1st, which also happens to be April Fool's Day. And a little side note for those individuals that have been around me for any length of time, I've been known to play a joke or two on April Fool's, so be on the lookout tomorrow. But, you know, kidding aside, there's been plenty of things that have fooled investors in the first quarter. You know, the first area that you have to start with has been the returns of treasury bonds compared to stocks. You know, starting in 2014, most analysts and forecasts continued to issue caution on the performance of interest rate sensitive investments or bonds. And given the current low yield environment and the news that the Federal Reserve was curtailing their bond buying program, the outlook for rates was to move higher, which would negatively impact bond prices. Well, that hasn't been the case. Long-term government bonds have had a good start to the year, up over 7%. Whereas stocks have been virtually flat. And, you know, there have been several reasons that have caused investors to be more cautious so far and seek out the safety of bonds. The harsh winter weather in many parts of the country has fooled analysts who are trying to figure out if the recent weakness in various economic reports is a sign the economy is really losing steam or if it is more weather-related. You know, also going back a month and a half or so, Vladimir Putin fooled a lot of people with his initial deceptions into Ukraine, you know, which has created a flare-up in geopolitical uncertainty. And, you know, trying to read the tea leaves from the Federal Reserve and their anticipated moves and timing can also make a lot of people look foolish as well. So, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, it's been a choppy start to the year, you know, where stock investors more or less have taken a breather after what was a very strong, you know, 2013.
Are there any changes investors should be looking at making? And are there certain storylines that we should keep an eye on that might improve the big picture environment?
Yeah, I have several thoughts on that. You know, one area to caution individual investors on is don't be fooled by the big jump you might see in five-year rolling averages of individual stocks or stock-based mutual funds. You know, the horrible year of 2008 when U.S. stocks were down 37%+ during the financial crisis has now rolled off the five-year calculation of returns. You know, so for example, the five-year average annual return for the broad U.S. stock market has gone from 2% all the way up to now 19%. You know, the important thing to remember is that historical returns are just that. They're historical. And basing investment decisions on such date-dependent snapshots could easily lead you to alter course and possibly in the wrong direction. So it is important to stick to your knitting and build your asset allocation strategy on long-term risk and return relationships. You know, as to the stories to keep an eye on, Europe is going to be in more focus in the near future. You know, while the U.S. Federal Reserve is scaling back its economic stimulus, low inflation in the Eurozone has led to speculation that the European equivalent to the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, will further stimulate their economy. And this speculation has caused the euro to fall sharply against the dollar, and any additional measures would likely weaken the euro and boost exports in the European economy. Also, the cold weather, winter weather, as I mentioned before, has been a common excuse for a lot of weak earnings and economic reports lately. And as we start to have a spring thaw, it would be good to see the same thing in the various reports and show signs of improvement in a strengthening economy.
Mm-hmm. Large banks seem to be healthier lately as the majority of them passed the recent round of stress tests. Now, that has to be a positive for the economy, correct?
Oh, definitely. I think you're right there. I also think the bigger story is that bank lending progress is occurring both here and in Europe. You know, U.S. loan growth has picked up significantly, especially in business lending, which is a key category. You know, this bodes well for the global economy and helps support the valuation levels of stocks. You know, without getting too deep in the details, strong loan growth signals the U.S. recovery is more durable than many give it credit. You know, despite the fact that the recession officially ended in June of 2009, 57% of Americans still believe the economy is in a recession. That's according to a recent NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. Loan growth certainly wouldn't be surging if that was the case. You know, the jump or increase in business loans supports our view that the economic recovery has become self-sustaining. You know, the economy can stand on its own 2 feet, which is crucial considering the Federal Reserve stimulus measures are set to end this fall. So, you know, improved U.S. bank lending will be a distinguishing characteristic of 2014. It should correspond with stronger capital spending by businesses.
Andy, with only a couple of weeks left until the tax filing deadline, income taxes, of course, we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Any advice for last-minute filers?
Well, it's still not too late to fully maximize your IRA contribution for those that are eligible, whether it's a traditional or Roth IRA for an individual or a SEP IRA for a business owner. All are great vehicles that provide tax-advantaged growth of your money over time. You know, also, while finances and taxes are on the minds of families, I think it's a good time to dust off or revisit one's retirement income plan, especially for those that haven't reached retirement age. There are a lot of variables to consider when evaluating retirement projections. You know, some are easier to control than others. And we encourage individuals and families to focus on what you can control and make sure you're doing your part. You know, some examples of that would be how much is being saved, how long you plan to work, how much you will spend in retirement, and the level of risk willing to take in your investment portfolio. And, you know, Wayne, we can talk all we want about forecasts and current events, but at the end of the day, everyone's financial big picture is unique and different. And it is important to make sure that they are confident with the plan in place to achieve the dreams and goals, you know, for later in life.
Okay, our time is up. Thanks to Andy Foldenauer. Andy's report is not a research recommendation for any particular company and does not provide legal or tax advice.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green. Today, we are going to have a clearer picture of how climate change will affect the way we live. A UN panel has released a report from scientists who are